it's time to go out and...
Hey, boys and girls, from a nightclub at the end of the world. It is December the 16th, 2012. The last Sunday of the 13th Bachtun, the last Sunday of the long count Mayan calendar. At a time when mainstream media has been shoveling garbage that all of these prophecies were about the end of the world, which I think we pretty much made clear they aren't, they're about a change of the ages. And isn't it amazing how timing seems to work together with everything? We're started a little bit late tonight, which is fine. Gary Null was saying some important stuff on the show before. We'll go a little bit over. Don't worry, you're going to get your full hour. But this was a day, and today has been, for me, without doubt, the slowest day on the internet and for my inbox that I can ever remember. And I got to confess to you all that today, in the wake of what happened in Connecticut, I'm feeling every one of my 61 years. I'm feeling old tonight. But so is the age which is ending. And throughout all of this, there is a real clear sense, I think, of capitulation. Of course, in Connecticut, the official story is bullshit. But in the silence today, I'm really sensing and feeling, and I think I've heard it pretty clearly from Gary before, in the show just before this, a collective recognition that just the recognition that the official story and is and always has been a lie is wasted thought. Masturbation, if you will. It is useless. I mean, tonight we are not going to go into the details about Connecticut. We are going to go to the phones quickly because I want to hear from you guys, and I want you to help me through this show because I do think we're going to have a happy ending. I really do. And we are going to see some light as a result of this. But we don't want to talk about the stories of the second shooters being pulled and the fact that the shooters in Connecticut's mom owned all these guns and there's a connection to don't do that tonight. Don't bring that up because we are all beginning to understand that once you see that, there's no place to go with it anymore. We are totally surrounded in darkness. Don't waste your time and don't waste mine on that. There's more important things to talk about, especially this palpable change in the collective attitude. I mean, okay, everything we are getting now, the official story is a lie. I mean, pick your own starting place. Pick your own ending place. I spent my entire life identifying and challenging the, quote, official story. You know, that's how I was brought the name Tracker of Truth, and I earned that one. And I'm glad I got it old at this age because, you know, we've pretty much found what the truth is. But let's just take a little trip down memory lane. The official story of the Aurora shooter was a lie. The official story of Deepwater Horizon was a lie. The official story of the death of Pat Tillman was a lie. The official story of the housing boom was a lie. The official story of Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction was a lie. The official story of September the 11th was a lie. The official story of the 2000 election was a lie. The official story of the Oklahoma City bombing was a lie. The official story of Waco and the Branch Davidians was a lie. The official story of the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait was a lie. The official story surrounding the removal of Manuel Noriega in Panama was a lie. The official story of Iran-Contra and the Sandinistas was a lie. The official story of Vietnam was a lie. The official story of Bobby Kennedy's death was a lie. The official story of Martin Luther King's death was a lie. The official story of John Fitzgerald Kennedy's death was a lie. And what will it be when, or hopefully if not, Barack Obama announces that Syria's Bashar Assad has used chemical weapons? I want to be clear about the Connecticut shooting. I purposely have not immersed myself in the details. I don't need to. They don't matter anymore. There is no place of light. There is no available legal remedy for this anymore. There is no place, person, or position with any authority left anywhere to run to and expect remediation any more than the Hurricane Sandy victims. I think there's still something like 15,000 people out in Red Hook, in you know, still without power and water. Katrina hasn't been fixed. Excuse me. Fukushima certainly hasn't been fixed. And I'm pretty convinced, being this old fart who has been out here for a long time tracking the truth, standing in the face of the official story, I'm pretty certain that the deafening silence that I'm hearing tonight reflects something that I really consider to be good news. I mean, tonight, for the first time since starting to use email, my inbox, again, it's empty. I look at my Facebook page. Some people are posting stories about discrepancies, but even would-be intrepid journalists who were doing what people like I was doing right after September 11th and even before that, you know, they're starting to point out the they have no enthusiasm. And why is that good news? Well, it's good news because we may be at the bottom. The bottom. That's a wonderful term from a spiritual path. It's a wonderful term from the 21 years I spent in AA. It's a wonderful term that you find throughout mysticism, that you find conceptualized and enshrined in all spiritual paths, that there are breakthroughs, there are deaths, there are initiations. And you have to reach a bottom in one area before there can be a breakthrough in consciousness, that breakthrough in consciousness that I've been talking about for years, that Gary was talking about, that breakthrough in consciousness that we are all craving right now. One of the most profound spiritual lines I've ever heard, it also came from an AA meeting, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, there's such wisdom there. The bottom is when there's nobody left to blame. Let me say that again. The bottom is when there's nobody left to blame. Take a look at the world around. Who are you going to point the finger at? And you would have to be insane because, you know, to expect you can point the finger at somebody or something that's fictitious that you now understand will not possibly fix or change what needs to be changed. All of us who work so hard to document that we're living in an utterly corrupt, dysfunctional, suicidal definition construct of reality. In our efforts over a lifetime to turn the wheel around, we have become, like pretty much now, and are become notable but now essentially useless artifacts. You know, I'm like the fossilized remains of a specialized species that lived in a time when there was actually a hope and a belief that something could or should be saved, that an awakening could take place. That doesn't mean, now I'm saying, that it doesn't happen, because now we kind of come up on this weird, wonderful, beautiful issue of synchronicity as we leave this yuga age, this horribly dense time, when it was prophesied that this era would end, not a final end, an end of an era. And I just have to keep repeating Don Alejandro's words: it's not the end, it's a new beginning. And no prophecy has ever said that everything was coming to an end. That is the world that lives in fear. That's the world that lives on fear. That's the world that is run by fear. And so I repeat that this is a change, and we hope it's a change, but we don't know. You know, for all of my work, I have hopes for December 21st and the winter solstice. There is amazingly good, solid, hard science that planet Earth will pass through the galactic. That's a given. The timing of the Mayan calendar in relationship to the Earth and its relationship to the physical universe is impeccable. It's not been challenged. We know that that's happening. Now, if you look back at those prophecies for what's happening, and then you step back and you take a look at the world around, whether you believe in them or not, and especially if you don't, you have to be sentient enough at this point to look at the world around you and say, it is ending, and if it isn't, it needs to, so that it can be replaced. And those sentiments were extremely present for me when I was with New White Trash in Venice Beach 3 years ago, working with my dear friend Doug Lewis, who I'm living with out here in San Luis Valley of Colorado now, and great new songs are coming out. Doug's working his tail off. But when we wrote this song, this was exactly what I had in mind about how there might be, and I was seeing this 3 years ago, this amazing coincidence of timing when the whole world fell to crap, and that's exactly when the prophecy said they would, and there was to it a weird kind of sense. Here's the song.
Oh, what a mess we left you. Oh, what a mess we left you. Against the odds and other gods, we left you such a mess. Toasting on tea and champagne. Nothing left but a dried stain. Camped by the fire in formal attire. Under the change of a changing. What a mess we left you. What a mess we left you.
This is not tomorrow.
Today is not a drill.
Makes a weird kind of sense.
Yesterday needs no warning, and the prophecies were filled.
Oh, what a mess we left you.
Makes a weird kind of sense.
Oh, what a mess we left you.
See the screen become.
Oh, what a mess we left you.
More and more intense.
Oh, what a mess we left you.
Tearing down. That God in heaven said,
what a mess we left you.
So we'd consent.
What a mess we left you.
So we'd consent.
What a mess we left you.
So we'd consent.
What a mess we left you.
So we'd consent.
What a mess we left you.
So we'd consent.
What a mess we left you.
That was a weird kind of sense, written by myself and Mr. Doug Lewis of New White Trash, newwhitetrash.com. You can find that and 36 other original songs there at the website. We're going to do two songs tonight because there are times when the feelings are so intense, and I have found that I could not have assimilated, digested, maintained through challenges without music, and music sometimes does and can do for us a lot of things that we need to do, and the music seems to be speaking real strongly tonight. I'm going to have, of course, a killer song for you at the end of the show. A few of you can probably figure out who it is, but anyway, because that's the note I want to end on. We've got a few minutes before the break, so if I want to hear from you guys tonight, and I've got more to talk about, but I want to hear from you guys. 888-874-4888. What are you feeling about this? What is your, can you perceive what Gary Null was talking about in the show before this one? What I'm talking about that is now so clearly. Do you see it? And if you do see it, how are you feeling about it? How are you dealing with it? And tell me about the things you're doing that are loving and cool in your life right now to keep the energies flowing in the right direction. Call in anytime you want to. So, all right, now just continuing on with a lot of this stuff that's kind of transpiring in consciousness. we spent as much time as I could cram into about the last 10 months on this show. I have been consciously trying to impart as much useful information to you guys to help accelerate a change of consciousness, which is taking place. It is taking place. And this is how we segue from the darkness into the light. And one of the things that's so encouraging about this is that once we make clear that, like I did in the documentary Collapse, that you have to change your mind. We need to find that 100th monkey. Before we go into break, let's see if we got a caller. Before we go into break, okay, we do have a caller. I got a good story to tell you after break, but right now, Jonathan from Philadelphia is on the line. John, are you there?
Yeah, Jonathan? Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
How are you?
Okay, man.
All right. Hey, listen, I'll make this really quick. I just want to ask you a question about something. I really trust your opinion.
Okay.
And I was going through the line, and I heard saw some YouTube videos on a guy named Ken O'Keefe. Do you know anything about him?
Never heard anything about him. No.
Ken O'Keefe, he was a veteran of the first Gulf War, and he explains stuff about Palestine and the crimes that Israel commits on them and stuff. I just thought maybe if you heard of him, you'd be able to give me some.
No, there have actually been scores and, you know, hundreds of people who have stood up and told the truth. So I, you know, of course I haven't met or heard of all of them, but you know, everything that you're saying he said is stuff that I have either said myself or heard said or heard written. It's pretty much out there in the common knowledge. This is not undocumented stuff we're talking about here.
Maybe you heard of him, and I just wanted to ask.
No, that's all right. But you know, that's another name out there of one of the so many men and women. Who have just really stood up and taken it on the chin for all these years, and we all contributed our little piece, and I think that's the payoff. But anyway, Jonathan, thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Jack in Nevada City, you there? Jack in Nevada City.
Been reading you and listening to you for a long time, and as a matter of fact, I had the pleasure of being in the front row when you gave your post-petroleum man speech at Grass Valley Echo Fest about a year and a half ago, I think it was.
Okay. Turn your volume down because I'm getting feedback.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me all right now?
Yeah, I was just getting feedback when I talked. It's great now. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Well,
that was a fun speech.
I heard you talk about your personal experience with the 12-step program, and I heard you this evening talk about us as a country now and as a culture maybe bottoming out, and maybe that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think that maybe maybe there's a 12-step program that we can go to as a country, and we'll stand up in front of all the countries of the world and say, I am the USA Inc. and I'm an empire-aholic.
That's good. I like that.
And I need some rehab. And then that made me wonder who would be our sponsor. And I thought, obviously, the Soviet Union.
Okay, run with that for a bit. You got to fill me in on that one, dude.
Well, the Soviet Union had to give up their empire 20 years ago, so they have experience doing it, so they could be our sponsor. Our sponsor in transitioning out of empire.
Well, I'm not sure how much recovery they've engaged in. I mean, you know, they're still running by the same song and dance as everything else. But essentially, I think it's a wonderful idea, but my take would be that it's not the United States. We have to end this division stuff. Right now, the whole human race needs a 12-step program, dude. I mean, you know, so then we get to, and it does, and that is the change of consciousness. That is exactly what the prophecy is about, and that's the point that I came to through my empirical research, you know, when I did the documentary Collapse, you know.
Right.
We need this shift in consciousness, but it's got to be a whole human thing. Now, that brings up a real good question, though. If the whole human race has hit a bottom, who's going to be the sponsor then?
Well, that the answer to that question is above my pay grade, I'm
afraid. You're absolutely right. Mine too, but that leaves open the question, which is kind of what we're coming to now, which is there something out there smarter than we are, and will it help?
I think we better hope so, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely we do. Oh, thanks. I'm getting a lot of calls in tonight. Jack, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it, man. All right. Bye-bye. We are sneaking up on a break, but let me just see what this little message is that's coming in, see if we got somebody else. We started late, so we can do that. That was a great little conversation right there, and that's the point that I've been trying to make, and that's what I've made consistently in my work throughout the past 5 years or so, is that, dude, we have to hit a bottom, and this is not time for a tune-up and oil change. You know, to the way humans live. This is time for a complete overhaul. This is time to tear the engine block down and build a new kind of engine and start, you know, as Thomas Jefferson might have said, from a completely blank piece of paper. Okay, we have a caller, Michael from New York. Are you there, Michael?
Hey, I'm here. How's it going?
All right, man. How are you?
I'm not bad. I actually called you many times. I've been calling in for a while now. Michael from Hicksville. I don't know if you remember that.
Okay. Your voice sounds familiar.
Well, I was calling to tell you about this project I just finished. My friend and myself, we built a pyramid out of copper pipe for the purpose of meditating.
Yes.
And the weird thing is, I thought about doing this the last full moon we had. It just popped into my head. I was going to do it for the 21st to the 23rd to do the, you know, the winter solstice. And then a friend of mine was reading in a book about rhodazite. I don't know if you know anything about gemstones and minerals.
A very little amount. I do have a very clear understanding, and for this I owe a debt to David Wilcock from his book, Source Field Investigations. What an amazing compilation of science that is. But
yeah.
I am getting very clearly that, as opposed to the old New Agey stuff, you hold a crystal and you'll get rich, or whatever, you'll lose your wrinkles, which was, you know, the way it was sold. There is something incredibly real in the science about frequencies. And what you're building, you know, it has enormous impact on that. My understanding is that gemstones will have different resonant qualities. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. It actually says in a book that I have to put rhodazite inside the copper pipe. Excuse me, if you build a copper pipe pyramid, and the crazy thing is, I never even read about that. He found it in the book. And I thought of doing this before I even read about it. So it was like something that popped into my head to do. And we just actually finished it tonight.
We love stuff that pops into head. That's a sure sign of the same of what's going on. And that's a lot of what people are absolutely noticing and commenting on and learning how to flow with is to be aware of the inspirations, the intuition, and especially the synchronicity that's happening in so many places. I kind of want to pick this up after the break, but we have to do a station break. Can you hold on till after the break? We'll come back with you, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We are going to have Marvin Gaye take us into and out of our station break. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, on the Lifeboat Hour at PRN-FM. We'll be back in a minute.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy, please. All things ain't what they used to be.
From an unusual station break there, I believe, and we're going to fade this out now. Maybe. There we go. Hi, this is just the change of the era. Stuff happens. Well, Michael from New York, are you still there? We were talking about your copper pyramid.
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, so have you used it yet? Have you anything to report back?
Actually, we just finished constructing today. We actually put it off for, it was supposed to happen like 2 weeks ago, and my friend kept on like missing the times, and finally we got it done tonight. But one thing I just wanted to say, it's real simple. We just took 4 lengths of 10-foot copper pipe. I put a wire through the inside of all 4 of them to, I tied the wires together at the top, at the apex, and then we just put the wires into the ground, and it stands perfectly strong. And then on each corner, I wanted to put 4, on each corner there's going to be a glass jug of water with a rare earth magnet. This is all the stuff that just popped into my head. I don't know what it means. I'm just going to do it.
it's happening to a lot of people, and so I want to honor that. So you haven't got real any. Okay, what you got to do is you got to call us back after you've been using it for a while. Okay.
Well, the reason why I thought of doing it was for the winter solstice, for the
yes,
the supposed ascension. I'm not really sure what that means, but that's why it popped into my head, and that's why I did it. So.
Well, you know what? At this point, it's a lot more coherent, and it makes a lot more sense than anything that it tells us what's going on in the world outside. Michael, thank you for calling. We got some more callers backing up here, but stay in touch and let us know how this works. And that's good that you're doing that on solstice. I'll be praying and meditating almost the whole day, because that's the place to go. The only change that can take place is in consciousness and inside. That's where it all comes from. Michael, thank you for calling. Dan in Buena Vista. Hey, you're a neighbor. Colorado is. When is? Are you there?
Yep. I'm here. Yeah, I was just calling. I've been listening to you since the summer. I heard you on your transition on down here, and I actually just moved to Buena Vista not too long ago. So yeah, just a little bit north of you here. But dig the show, dig the message, and I was just curious if you guys knew White Trash is playing around in the area at all.
Well, no, New White Trash actually never has played live and probably never will. But
gotcha.
But now that we're here down in the San Luis Valley, there's some amazing musical talent around here. And Doug Lewis has just been on fire with creating new songs. And I've had some written some small pieces of some songs that I'll be singing lead on. Kristen Weigard has been up. She's from New White Trash. She's written 3 or 4 new songs, and we're starting to get sit-ins, and we're all gravitating toward forming a live band, which is my dream, okay? Because I've never had the privilege of singing one of my own songs live with a band, but why should I complain? Because I was so honored to have just been a part of that. But now it looks like there's some good energy building up, and I would expect when this new band forms up in the spring, we'll be out live and we'll be covering some of the New White Trash stuff in there. We haven't got a name yet, but it's something fun to look forward to.
All right, will do. Well, I'll keep an eye out, keep us posted. And, hey, if you're Crestone, then if you want to check out Willow Lake back there, I've heard about it. to see in there, but it's a good hike in the area. So just a quick.
There's a lot of good hikes that are
that's
true,
that are that's true. It's pretty much endless.
It's a little nippy here right now, and I'm still acclimating, but I am getting out and I'm adjusting to the cold, and this is an amazing place.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Thank you for calling. All right, so that's kind of cool feedback from everybody tonight. That you know, it's like we're all kind of sharing this experience together, and that's one reason why it was so critical. That, you know, I'm the guy to stand his post. Now it's been two and a half years I've been doing this show, and you guys are indeed family, and I love you to pieces. And so I was offering not only my insight and take. My feel on the situation as it stands now is amazed to see that Gary Null was on the same page, and I think we're all feeling that. And what we do in terms of changing consciousness or affecting it is we share this space with each other together in hope. Now we're getting kind of to the point where I'm going to start weaving as to why I think this might be turning out to be a real good time. And that's because I do believe we are at or close to a bottom. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen on the 21st. I'd love to have some fireworks and some not painful, but I would love to have some clear signs that we are definitely not alone in this dimension, in this dense place called 3D. But I don't know that that's going to happen, and I don't know if the ascension will happen on that date. I do have a sense the worlds are separating. But there is a distinct possibility that this could be good, and that has to do with the change in the controlling energy on this planet from the male, which has almost killed the female, back and restoring balance. This is a female planet. Her name is Gaia. Her name is Mother Earth, and that's the exciting stuff. Now, we have a caller now from Joshua in Torrington, Connecticut. Joshua, are you there?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, man.
I kind of just wanted to... I'm kind of emotionally kind of having some difficulties with dealing with what happened on Friday.
Sure.
And it's going to sound weird, but it's not the obvious type of emotional dilemma. Is, you know, I basically sat and bared witness to the entire thing through the internet on what happened in Gaza and all the stuff that's just been going on lately. And then when it happens here, you know, in my backyard, I was kind of shocked to how cold I felt to it. You know, it didn't impact me the way I would expect. And
would you say cold or numb?
Numb. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely numb is a better word
right.
for it.
All right.
I'm numb to it, and it to me was more irritating that, like, oh, so now that it's not happening to brown people, suddenly you care?
No, it was happening. Don't beat yourself up for that, okay? It takes what it takes to wake people up, and that was one of the great wisdoms of Alcoholics Anonymous. It takes what it takes to get an alcoholic to the point of being, quote, willing to go to any lengths to achieve a healing, a recovery, a change of consciousness sufficient to save life. It just takes what it takes, and there's no judging that. Your personal awakenings happen when they happen. It ain't your fault. We can collectively, and I can collectively sit back and look at all the work that, you know, I and many other people did and say, how come you didn't listen? Well, a great many people did, and that's part of the great mystery we don't get. Numb is a good word, though. You're not cold. Because I went numb. And, you know, I'm a hardened guy. I've been out here for a long time. And even I went numb with that. And I think what you're feeling is not unique to you. As a matter of fact, the condition of selfishness and self-centeredness is one we all need to be liberated from. You're not the center of the universe, and you're not responsible for everything, you know. We all share our pieces. But I think that's the way almost everybody is reacting to this, is with numbness. I am not sensing, I'm not feeling, I'm not seeing any of the kinds, aside from the stuff they churn for mainstream media, that you would have normally seen. It's like we've been worn out with the tragedies now.
Mm.
But then what comes with this, I believe, is the awareness that the whole system is just screwed. And the only solution now is to change the entire operating system. There's no fixing what's out there now. you know, start repairing what with what? It's just not going to work. So be gentle with yourself on that. Stay aware. It's okay to be numb. It's okay to say to yourself, this is hard to hold. This is hard to handle. But it is an essential point because, as David Crosby said, the darkest hour is always before the dawn. So let's hope that we're there. We have more callers. So thank you, Joshua. Take it easy, man, and find people to hang with and know that you're not alone in the way you feel. Phil from New York, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go. You had a suggestion you wanted to make.
Yeah, it was just something I've heard for anybody who plans on meditating or paying attention to what's going on the 21st. So I've heard it from a few Mayans that a good idea is to bring a pen and a pad wherever you are, wherever you might be, to write down some of these inspired thoughts, these ideas that might be coming to you on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's supposed to be 8 minutes or so the apex, you know, the inspired thought. And I'm not sure exactly sure when that 8 minutes is supposed to be. From what I understand from a few people, it might be at 11:11 universal time on the 21st. But for anybody who is, you know, in tune or paying attention to what's going on, just to, you know, keep in mind some of the things you're going to be thinking and feeling and, and write it down or have a tape recorder or a digital recorder and just try to keep track of some of those ideas because they may be fleeting and after it's over, maybe just like a lost memory.
Yeah, I don't think, I recommend that, especially for what insights you get, but I don't think that anything spiritually important is going to be lost if we don't write it down. This change of consciousness is a big thing, and I would hearken back to the research that people like Greg Braden and David Wilcock and so many people have documented, is that on September 11th, the outpouring of human emotion was so intense that it altered the Earth's magnetic field, and that came out of NASA. Hard, hard, hard science. And I believe that the 21st is shaping up to be a moment, a window like that, when the collective longing of the human heart to be healed, to be whole, to stop this madness, when the collective yearning of that, leaving aside any other galactic or anything else, will be extremely intense. And there is a rhythm, and it is so important that we honor and recognize the power that comes with our physical bodies, with the rhythm of this planet on which we live, of which we are made, and of our solar system and the universe, and, you know, Nitakuye Oyasin, we are connected to all things. So, good. I mean, I'm really glad to hear people talking about doing stuff like this, because it's pretty obvious other things aren't going to work. We have more callers. Sure. Phil, thank you so much. It's nice to be hearing from all you guys tonight. Jim in Connecticut, you there?
Hi, Chet from Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
I would like to make a comment and get Mike's opinion on the Federal Reserve's latest move.
Okay, this is Mike. And I'm not even watching what the Federal Reserve is doing now. I don't care anymore. It's all garbage. It's all just meaningless, vacuous words. And you just stand back and now you just witness the train wreck of human civilization. And there's no meat on the bones of those words anymore. It's just old system and old paradigm uttering its death throes.
Yes. Are you familiar with Congressman Paul Kanjorski?
No.
Oh, he's from Pennsylvania, and he spoke. He has, if you YouTube that, you'll see him talking on C-SPAN back in 2008, and he talks about a day that occurred in September of 2008 when there was a massive bank run by large entities.
Yeah, that's all moot now, dude. I'm sorry. That's not a vein I want to pursue right now on the show because, you know what, I'm done fighting those battles, and most of us are done even thinking that trying to fight those battles is going to do anything.
Yes. The only to make is it's going to happen again, and it'll bring the system down in about 72 hours. That's how quickly it'll collapse.
Well, hopefully it'll start soon, because I think we're all at the point where we recognize that that's what's got to happen. Thank you,
yes,
dude, for calling in. I'm going to run toward the end of the show here.
Thanks. Okay. God bless you, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we're down, we're winding down, and the theme I'm trying to build on and to get to is that there may be some people who will wake up on December 22nd, and they will be so dense that they'll go outside and they'll say, everything looks exactly the same way it did, nothing happened, everything's fine, and you get it. There will be, I think, on December 22nd, many, many, many more human beings, because the awareness of this galactic transition is almost universal among the human race, and that's documented. It's talked about. The awareness is there in every country of the world. And thanks, great thanks to Wandering Wolf Don Alejandro for having traveled. Having traveled so hard these last few years to so many countries to carry his message. I watched his film, Shift of the Ages, which was a great theatrical film, and it is free online. And this is a film that could be nominated for Oscar. I mean, it's that kind of quality. I've spoken to the director, Steve Copeland. But there's a part in there where he's been walking his path, and he kneels and he prays, and he's broke, and he's been walking so long, and he's been trying to carry the message, and he's been living his destiny. And boy, did I identify with that, because I'm feeling kind of tired and worn out, too. I think a lot of us are. But there was still an enormous light in his eyes. So what I'm thinking is this. Whether there is an ascension, and whether I wake up in the fifth dimension, which I would, that'd be fine with me, whether Mother Earth ascends as a planet as a whole, and I hope that's the case, it would, if, you know, whether thunderbolts and lightning happen, and whether nothing happens, what I believe in my heart that is collectively, the human race on the 22nd of December will wake up and look around and go, you know, I wish something did happen. I wish maybe we could have transited to a world that was run on love rather than fear, ran a consciousness, reality as we know it, was based upon our connectedness to each other and to all things and to all spirit. And there will be a sense of an opportunity that might have passed, and it might not have, because the Mayans are extremely clear. And as are most, that there's no exact date, but the change is underway, and it's gradual. And the heart of this change is the shift of the energy, the liberation, the fulfillment of the prophecy of the eagle and the condor. When the female is liberated, when Mother Earth is liberated, and I'm so impressed by a ceremony that I heard on a conference call about 2 weeks ago now, where Don Alejandro and I believe his name is Russell Jack, forgive me if I'm wrong, an eloquent Paiute elder, in a ceremony did a formal transfer of energetic control of this planet from the masculine to the feminine. And we have, I am feeling that, and I am aware of that, and I welcome it, and I pray for it, because this man, this warrior, is tired. And what I have done now, I hope that there is a spiritual calling and a place for me in the new paradigm. I will not die. There's no end to me. But, you know, clearly, I've run this race to its course now, because we're at the point where there must be a change. And I would so welcome the shift of the energy to the female, Mother Earth, the goddess. I'm all about that. And so, coincidentally, are all of the religions and spiritual teachings that have been persecuted relentlessly, brutally, and bloodily for the last 5,000 years. And that's the note where I'm thinking maybe we are at a bottom. And let's just stay here and be aware of it collectively as mankind, looking around the world at Fukushima, the insanity building around Syria, the economic collapse, the climate collapse, the 200 species going extinct per day, all of this. And let's just sit here for a minute and realize that there must be something greater than us, and it is available, and we hope for it, and we long for it, and in that will come the seed of the change of consciousness, the 100th monkey, and what we want. So as I leave this broadcast to you tonight, with the last Sunday of the 13th Pakhtun, the last Sunday of the Mayan Long Count calendar, knowing that there will be a world after this, but holding in my heart the kind of world that I want it to be, we want it to be. And there is nobody better, more qualified, more positioned, and I purposely haven't played her for a while for you guys because I was saving her for tonight, who I want to take us from the old paradigm into the new. And so I'm going to leave you with this song by Diane Patterson. It's called High Sierra Morning. But when I come back on the Lifeboat Hour, I will be with all of you in the new sun. I love you. Good night. Here's Diane.
Say this could be a good time. Sierra morning and all the way above.